You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current county supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message, paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is a time to meet Jim Hanley. Jim Hanley owns a financial advisory company. His company administers over $4 million through customer accounts, small enough to offer personal representation, but large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Jim Hanley has the courage and knowledge to guide you through these frightening and troublesome times. Jim Hanley offers wealth management, financial planning, portfolio analysis, social responsible investments, and general financial advice by the hour. Jim Hanley is the registered investment advisor. Call Jim Hanley at 623-3646. Jim Hanley is one of the most respected financial advisors in Arizona. Jim Hanley LLC offices at 3615 North Bench Road. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. The views expressed are not those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Profession Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked about and listened to political talk show on weekends in Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. You know, I've done the show for about 33 years. I've never paid attention to ratings. Some were up, some were down, and I just tried to do the best show I could do every single day for 33 years. But we did get news that the Nielsen ratings are out, and we are one of the highest-rated weekend talk shows on KVOI, which, of course, hosts the best local talk weekends anywhere in the West. And we're sort of very proud of that and pleased that you would listen to us. And most people listen for the full hour because it's politics time, that's for sure. So thanks for making us at the top of the list. And we're very proud to have you aboard again. Got a great show lineup for you today. Don Jorgensen will be with us. He's the former chair of the Democratic Party, a regular contributor to the Bill Buckmaster Show and the John C. Scott Political Forum. And we'll have closing arguments from Steve Diamond, running for the Board of Supervisors District 4, and Beth Ford, a Republican, running for treasurer again. She's been elected six times. This will be her seventh time. She says it's the last time out she'll run. She's been overwhelmingly elected for six straight times for four-year terms as the Pima County Treasurer. Well, let's go to Don Jorgensen, a regular contributor to KVOI's political talk and a very great contribution to our show. Thanks, Don, for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you again, John. How are you?
I'm doing very well. By the way, the editorial New York Times today said this: Donald Trump can't fix the most pressing problem facing the United States of America. Because Donald Trump is the most pressing problem facing the United States of America. Your comment on the New York Times editorial headline.
Well, it's hard to say it's breaking news anymore. You know, in looking at, you can take any slice of the presidency, but just let's look at the last month with the president himself testing positive after dismissing the most serious pandemic we've seen in a century as a hoax or seemingly not his responsibility, lying about it in the beginning and all of that, and then getting it himself, he has become a symbol of his own failures. And those are simply failures of recklessness, ignorance, and arrogance, which we've come to know really well. And so, yeah, he is the biggest threat facing not just the U.S., but perhaps the world when you look at how he's destroyed relations with our allies and made the world the most dangerous place, corrupted many of our institutions that have served the United States. You can start with the intelligence community and the State Department and work your way down, certainly the Justice Department. But he is, again, and this has been said before, he is the arsonist that wants credit for putting out the fire, and he hasn't put out the fire.
By the way, American democracy, said the editorial in the New York Times, is under greater threat today than it was any time since World War II. Now, that's saying a lot. You go back to World War II when, obviously, Japan controlled half of the world and Germany under the complete control of the Nazi government and Adolf Hitler. And we have now seen all of this time pass from 1945 to 2020, and the New York Times says the American democracy is in greater danger, greater threat, than at any other time since World War II. Amazing statement.
It certainly is. And it again gives kind of credence to the picture that many folks had, that this is a man who prefers an autocracy rather than a democracy or even a republic. And there are two things that are stunning about that. One of them is that he has so many of his acolytes and supporters or enablers that seemingly have no issue with this, from the folks he's appointed like Bill Barr to his enablers like Mitch McConnell in the Senate. How these folks who in the past we may have had political disagreements with, but still all believed we had the same values, can so easily turn to support this kind of government takeover is just astonishing. It also takes me back to some writings in the past year by Michael McFaul. I'm sure a lot of folks who listen to you know that he is the former ambassador to Russia and quite familiar with autocracies and Russian tactics and such. And he wrote in one of his books what autocracies look like and how to really identify when you have a creeping autocracy in any country. And he identified, I think, about 11 characteristics of an autocracy. And I'm just going to run through them, and you tell me how many sound familiar of these we've seen just in the last couple of years under Donald Trump. They create a cult of personality. They use administrative or government resources for personal gain. They demonstrate a blatant disregard for the law, a blatant disregard for facts. They always tend to employ an us versus them populism. It's really the extreme of identity politics. They refer to the opposition as the enemy of the people, and we've heard that those words come directly out of Donald Trump's mouth when it comes to the media. They claim to be the law and order candidate or president or leader, when in fact the opposite is true. They like to be seen doling out individual acts of what you might call royal kindness. And the best example of this is, again, Donald Trump delaying stimulus checks to folks most in need back in the spring because he wanted to make sure his signature would be on them. And we've heard this again just in the past week, that was one of the reasons for the delays, is he wanted his signature on those. And he seeks loyalty and fealty to that individual. Those are the symbols of an autocratic person in an autocratic regime that Michael McFaul identified. And I think as I've gone through the list, I'm sure there are a lot of heads nodding as mine did when I read this list, saying that's Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Let me ask you about whether this cake is baked, as people talk about all the time. Donald Trump is trying to shore up support in states he once carried. All of the numbers in swing states all across the Midwest point to a Biden lead and a Biden win, all the way from Pennsylvania to Florida, from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan. It just goes on and on. If you looked at the numbers, you'd say there's no way, no way in hell that Donald Trump can win another four-year term. But do you tell me, or can you tell me, is this over? I mean, we're 2 weeks away from Tuesday, and it will be over. Is it over now?
Well, any Democrat will not answer that question. You know that, because there's still a lot of PTSD floating around Democratic ranks after 2016. But there are differences this year. And the difference is, at this time in 2016, the undecided vote was still around 17%. And that's a pretty good number of folks that could swing one way or the other, and we know which way they swung in 2016. Today in 2020, the undecided vote is around 6%. So there's not a lot of room for movement, particularly when you look at the polls showing Joe Biden with double-digit leads. Now, the question is, what happens in these swing states? And I think one of the best indications is the worry that the Republicans have, because here is Donald Trump spending campaign money, limited campaign money from what we understand, because we know that about $800,000 of it was unaccounted for, mysteriously spent. But he's having to spend a limited amount of money, not in the traditional swing states, but in states that were solidly in his corner 4 years ago. The fact that he's having to spend money in Georgia, the fact that he's having to spend money in Iowa is just astonishing. And I think it does speak to that fear the Republicans have of a blue wave. Now, I'm not going to predict there be one, again, because I've got a little bit of that PTSD, too, I think, as most folks have. And I don't want to indicate any kind of overconfidence. I think Democrats have to continue to fight and get out every voter they can get out in the past 2 weeks. But the indications there are good as well, just based on the turnout numbers. And on the other side, the other extreme, which we can talk about more to answer your question, the voter suppression acts we're seeing rise up. And this is, to answer your question a different way, the only possible way that Donald Trump can perhaps take the election is through voter suppression, not through the actual vote.
Let me take a quick break. We'll talk about Donald Trump coming to Tucson to Monday, a day after tomorrow, his visit here, brief stop at the airport. How significant is it that Donald Trump's campaigning in Arizona, the red state of Arizona, which is turning blue, and the other course of the Donald Trump attempt to come from behind one more time. We'll be back with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, regular contributor to the Bill Buckmaster Show and to the John C. Scott Political Forum. We're so glad to have Don with us. Back in a moment. The words in the handout from Dr. Randy Fries. Fries, a doctor who gets results. These words sum up Dr. Randy Fries' hard work and commitment to the voters in Legislative District 9. Dr. Randy Fries has fought an unending battle for quality access to health care. As a doctor, as a veteran, as an educator, Dr. Randy Fries has fought to improve the quality of life for all Arizonans. Dr. Randy Fries is a legislative leader that gives Southern Arizona a voice of responsible government. Vote for Dr. Randy Fries in the November 3rd general election. This message is paid for by Dr. Randy Fries for House and authorized by Dr. Randy Fries.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
I'm Catherine Ripley and I'm running for Pima Community College governing board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised two children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. 2 weeks from Tuesday, the votes will be counted, and we will know who will be the next president of the United States. With us, Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Well, there's no question Donald Trump's coming to Tucson on Monday. Why Arizona? It appears there is a change in the color of the state, isn't there, Don?
There is. We've moved to purple in the last couple of years, particularly with the election of Senator Sinema, and we have the majority of Congress, or at least House representatives, that are Democratic too. And they can read the polls, they can read the numbers, and again, what had been at least a safe presidential state is no longer. And I think the last poll I saw showed Joe Biden with about a 5% lead in Arizona, again, ahead of the margin of error. So another place where we're seeing some desperation moves here. I hear he's flying to Prescott and then to Tucson for airport stops. And, you know, one of the things we can hope for, which is not likely to happen either, is that deadbeat Don pays his bills. They owe, what, $50,000 from the last visit or $80,000 and expected to run up the same cost for the city of Tucson again.
By the way, how much of an effect do you think this race is going to have on the down ballot? And we're talking about Kelly's bid to pick up another Senate seat for the Democrats in Arizona, as well as other Republicans that go all the way down to Pima County Recorder to, gosh knows, everywhere down the ballot. You've got Republicans saying, wow, if this is a Democratic tsunami, no matter how long I've been in office, I may not be able to overcome it, and it may have an effect on the legislature, board of supervisors, all the way down the ballot. And I see that as a possibility, don't you?
I do. Republicans generally say that because they want to scare their own voters into getting out. But what's happening this year, and we saw it in the primary, the Republican turnout increased slightly by perhaps a percentage point in the primary. The Democratic turnout increased tremendously by 6 or 7 or 8 percentage points, which is a large number. And that's where we're seeing the numbers come, as well as independents swinging more toward Democrats because Republicans have run the Senate for too long and or not run it because Mitch McConnell has done nothing except rush through judges. They've passed no legislation in the past several months, including the latest COVID relief legislation that's sat there for months. And so I think we are seeing a turnout in some different ways. You look at the early numbers and what we're seeing nationwide are early votes already in 10 times that of the numbers from 2016. And we're seeing quotes and pictures from around the country in Georgia, places like Georgia, now in places like Texas, where people are waiting up to 12 hours to vote. I just saw a note this morning from a Republican in Texas who waited 4 hours to vote for Joe Biden. And so these are stories we've never heard before and not seen. And so I do think we may set a record, perhaps a 100-year record for overall turnout, and I think a record for Democratic turnout that we hadn't seen in some time either. The result of that could well be good news for the Democrats, perhaps not on November 3rd, but a week or so later when all the votes are counted.
You know, I think some of these Republicans, too, that felt pretty safe going into this election. I'm talking about Representative Mark Fetchum, who's an absolute dunderhead. I mean, you just don't get any dumber than he is. You just don't. I mean, honest to God. But, you know, people keep electing him up there, and I think he's in trouble as well as Leach, too. I think Democrats have chances where they never had chances before, and that would give them a majority, as they're only two seats away from the House of Representatives and perhaps even the Senate. And that's what's at stake.
That's right. There are folks and things predicting that the Democrats may well at least take the House because we only need two. And LD-11 that you just referred to is not even on that list of expected flips. If that were to happen, that would be more than a bellwether. That would be a shockwave that this blue wave is real because the Republican numbers there are very strong. But Democrats have two strong candidates up there. And you're right, the turnout could look completely different. There's another race in this area that could reflect the same, and that's Supervisory District 1 with Rex Scott and Steve Spain, where the Republicans only have about a 3,500 vote advantage, but the turnout so far, again, for Democrats is significant, and I think the cross-voting from independents and Republicans for the Democrat, another strong candidate in Rex Scott, could make the difference there, too.
Well, you've got $226,635 against Fincham put up by Democrats. I've never seen numbers like that, unless the Ethan Orr race, I guess, a couple of years ago, raised over $400,000 in a legislative race. We've never seen numbers like this. 197,000 supporting Democratic challenger Dr. Felipe Perez. And I'm going to tell you, those numbers, I mean, that's a lot of money for a legislative district in the state of Arizona. A lot of money. A lot of money. Almost $400,000 for Democrats. If I were a conservative Republican with only $23,000 that I was able to raise in the last 3 months, I'd be pretty frightened about it. I really would.
Especially for someone like those gentlemen up there who've been really closely associated with a number of extremist groups. And I think that has brought out the focus on replacing those individuals and the money that has, you're right, the money that's come out in these races and the Mark Kelly race against Martha McSally are all record setting. We've never seen this amount of money at all levels come into the state of Arizona. And I think that is, again, testimony to how significant a state we are in the national picture and how significant Democrats now see the need to flip the Arizona House, and money is finally, you know, following talk, if you will. The fact that we see it as NLD 11, though, is, as we said, unprecedented and really speaks highly of not just the candidates, but of the effort from the state Democratic Party on down to the county party to really get active and bring real change to the state. And I do think it's possible this year.
Don Jorgensen, great to have you on our show. Thank you so very much. We'll be talking again before this campaign ends, 2 weeks from Tuesday. It's almost over. What a run of a summer politics this has been. I've never seen anything like it, but I'm glad it's going to be over. We can only hope for the best.
It's not over yet.
Well, that's true. It's not over yet. Don, thanks again. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of your weekend with us. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, John.
You bet. Coming up next, Steve Diamond and his closing argument to be a supervisor for Pima County from District Number 4. That's been a Republican district forever. But Steve Diamond wants to change that. We'll ask him why and how. Beth Ford, the Republican treasurer. 6 terms she served as treasurer in Pima County. There is one thing certain that political allies and adversaries of Michael Hicks can agree on. Michael Hicks tells it like it is, speaks his mind, and is always plain-spoken. If we ever needed these qualities in a state legislator, we need them now. Arizona is going through some of the most difficult times in our history. The coronavirus pandemic has threatened the health and lives of all Arizonans. The economic devastation will be felt for years. We need a strong voice in the State House of Representatives. We need Michael Hicks. Michael Hicks is the right choice for the State House of Representatives in District 10. This message paid for by Michael Hicks for State Representative.
Are you safer now than 4 years ago? For 19 consecutive years, the crime rate has gone down in the U.S., but not in Pima County. In the past 4 years since Napier became sheriff, the crime rate has gone up, way up. In fact, crime here is up a full one-third more than 4 years ago when Chris Nanos was our sheriff. Bring crime back down. Bring Nanos back in.
We need Nanos for sheriff.
Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff. Authorized by Chris Nanos.
Hello, my name is Representative Pam Powers Hanley. I grew up in a tiny house in the Rust Belt, but my family always had food on the table and a roof over our heads. Arizona's children don't have those luxuries. I proposed legislation to expand maternal and child health and to tackle adverse childhood experiences like food, housing, and financial insecurity. Although Democrats held 48% of the legislature, Republicans blocked good bills like these with partisan gamesmanship. It's time for a new day. Instead of feather-bedding corporations with tax breaks, the legislature should guarantee food and housing security and quality schools for all of Arizona's children. It's time to prioritize the people's to-do list of education, healthcare, infrastructure, and security. As a progressive Democrat, I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Paid for by Powers Hanley for House 2020. I am Pam Powers Hanley. I authorize this message.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Welcome to Steve Diamond. He is a Democratic candidate for Pima County Supervisor in Legislative District 4. Steve, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sean. I'm glad to join you as well.
Closing argument, please, for your campaign to take this seat in District 4.
Okay, I'm happy to make my closing argument. It's based on three legs, like a three-legged stool, which is very stable configuration, as we all know. And the first one is reason and reasonableness. And as many people may have noticed, my opponent, the incumbent supervisor, Steve Christie, has repeatedly denied science, denied reason, and has set himself up as some kind of expert separate from the scientists. As far as I know, he isn't a scientist, but yet he still has the nerve to say that his opinion is better than the climate scientists, than the pandemic scientists, and he just doesn't believe any of those. So I am running based on science and on reason and on a shared vision of what's real to begin with. I don't think we can possibly ever reach sound decisions about what our policies, what our procedures, and what our projects ought to be if we don't start with a shared view of what constitutes reality. So that's the first leg. The second leg is diversity and inclusiveness. We all know we live in a very diverse community, and I'm running to work for all the voters of Pima County, not just a few voices that are somehow deemed to be more worthy of being heard than others. And along with that goes expertise. And this harks back to the science part of the closing argument, and that is that we should be listening to the voices of experts in their own particular areas and arriving at a consensus and a compromise as much as possible. Because along with diversity and inclusiveness go the ideas of respect for one another. And I really want to see this community become the best version of itself that it can possibly be. And without respecting and uplifting and supporting one another, that isn't going to happen. And the third leg of the stool is that this race is winnable. A lot of people told me when I first announced a year ago that no Democrat is ever going to win in that district. There is too much of a Republican advantage in voter registration. Well, early statistics are showing that in Arizona this year, Democrats are voting at much greater volumes than Republicans, and surveys are showing. There was one in-depth survey in the New York Times just published today about how Arizonans are considerably more moderate than the nation as a whole, much more willing to listen to each other and to be less divisive. So I think that my candidacy is perfectly in tune with those tendencies, and that this is a winnable race for a Democrat this year. So I look forward to serving all of Pima County.
Talking with Steve Diamond, Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 4. Obviously, we're going to go through some very difficult financial times, no matter how long this pandemic lasts. We still see great surges all over the country of people infected and dying, and we're going to see more of that all the way through, I think, 2021. The trouble, too, I think, that goes hand-in-hand with the terrible tragedy of the death and destruction it's causing to the health of Americans is the economy. And no one can disagree. We are paying a terrible price when it comes to jobs and businesses trying to survive this pandemic, as well as people's health trying to survive it as well. What is your suggestion as a member of the Board of Supervisors to get us through these difficult economic times, as well as the health challenges we all face?
Yes, I agree, John. Those are very serious challenges. I think the county, after a slightly slow start, is doing a good job on the health front. There are county clinics there. There are county testing centers. And there is also a good deal of contact tracing going on in Pima County, which is what we need. We need quick results from tests, and we need contact tracing in order to help bring the pandemic under control. On the economic front, I think that the economic plan that I've been talking about will really help to jumpstart our economy without raising taxes and without going through any great contortions. And it's a very simple plan. It's to redirect our spending at the county level, at the city level, at the level of other institutional spenders, redirect it back into Pima County. There is too much money being spent outside Pima County, even by the county itself, and that can change. Our procurement policies can change, and so can the procurement policies of the University of Arizona, of the hospital systems, and of other large institutional spenders in the county. If we would just do that one thing and redirect that spending here, those dollars would magnify themselves, multiply themselves as they circulate in the local economy, and they would help lift us all up.
By the way, the latest COVID-19 numbers from Pima County, 26,769 number of cases, the number of new cases reported just yesterday, 42, and the number of deaths, 633. It's still going to be with us for a long period of time. We're trying to get back to some kind of reasonable approach to educating our children all the way through K through 12 and at our universities. But this is going to be a real challenge for each and every one of us for a long time to come. If people were thinking, well, this is going to be over by the end of the year, it's not. It may not be over by the end of next year. We have tremendous challenges ahead, don't we not?
Yes, we certainly do. And I think that people should be prepared to face those challenges and to adjust our expectations to, again, to the science and the reality of the situation, and not to succumb to fantastical statements coming out of the White House or out of even the governor's office in Phoenix.
By the way, if people want to support Steve Diamond for supervisor in District 4, what do they do?
Go to my website, votestevediamond.com. And there's a new page there called How You Can Help. You'll see it on the top menu at the top of the website. Go to the How You Can Help page. It talks about how you can sign on for phone banking. I've identified a list of swing voters that you can easily reach by phone if you sign into my phone bank. And financial contributions are always welcome, too. I'm planning a final large mailing to swing voters in the district, and every dollar donated will help with that.
Steve Diamond, thanks for being with us on our show, and thanks for your closing arguments. We'll talk again before this campaign ends. Thanks for being on the show today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. Thanks very much for having me, and you have a great weekend, too.
Thank you. Steve Diamond is the Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 4. That includes Green Valley, parts of Tucson, all the way to Mount Lemmon, quite a district. We'll be back with Beth Ford, Republican, seeking, is it a seventh term as Pima County Treasurer? She's been there a long time. She does a great job. You ought to reelect her, in my opinion. We'll talk with her about her campaign. Might be her last, she says. Beth Ford, Pima County Treasurer, next on the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening. Ethan Orr served in the Arizona House of Representatives. He was called one of the most effective House members in decades. Serving in the majority party, Ethan reached across the aisle, bringing both sides together to benefit Southern Arizona. Now, Ethan Orr returns to public service as a candidate for the Pima College Board of Governors. He is one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek this important position. Ethan Orr is the right choice for Pima College Board. This message paid for by Ethan Orr for Pima College Board. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Floyd Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us is Beth Ford, longtime Pima County Treasurer. And I'm trying to think how many terms you've served. Would you remind me, please? It's five or six, I'm not sure. How many?
I'm finishing my fifth term.
Fifth term, so we're looking for six, right? And you said this is going to be your last term, right?
This will be my last term.
All right. But you've been honored by not only your associates who have county treasurers all across the state, but by the national organizations as well. I'm curious, I have a question. If I don't like the bill you sent me for my property tax, what do I do? Do I call you at home and say, I don't like this bill? What do I do? Is there a process that I can go through if I don't like the bill you sent me?
There's nothing you can do with my office. My role is the tax collector. I have nothing to do with the tax rates or the valuation of your property. If you have concern about the value of your property, which is the basis of your taxes, you need to talk to the assessor's office. There's an appeal period for that, and by the time the statements come out, it's too late. You have to watch for that notice of value that the assessor's office sends out in the spring.
So the bill I get is the bill I'm going to have to pay, pretty much.
That's correct. Unless there's been an error with your assessment, but generally if it's just a question of value, it's too late.
Let's talk about the reforms you made from the very beginning when you first became assessor of Pima County all the way through these five terms. What are you most proud of?
Well, I became the treasurer. When I took office, they were processing everything manually. Overtime up the wazoo, literally people working for 3 months, overtime Saturdays and Sundays to manually process tax statements. The first thing I did is implement a lockbox system, which is where the bank basically does the processing and sends me an electronic file that I can upload into my system, and it posts all of those payments. Over the years, we've been able to automate 90% of our tax payments. You can pay online. You can pay through our lockbox. And we actually have people that like to come in and pay in person, and that's fine. Even with COVID, we are taking precautions. You may have to wait a little bit, but we try and make it very easy to pay your taxes.
As county treasurer, let me ask you a little bit about what you want for the next 4 years. What else can you do that you haven't done?
We've been working on automating the banking side of the office. We take care of the 98 different political subdivisions in Pima County, which means I'm really their bank. Their checks clear through my office. Their deposits are made through my office. We haven't been able to automate that process with the superintendent of schools office yet. We're working on getting them upgraded software so we can do that. The other thing that I would like to do is try and get rid of the paper checks or warrants that the just different jurisdictions issue and go electronically. I mean, how many of your bills are you writing a check for these days? The county should be paying their vendors and the school districts electronically. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot safer.
Let me ask you about the idea that there's a lot of money flowing through this Pima County Treasurer's Office. How many dollars go through this office in a year?
It's about $3.5 billion.
Wow.
The tax levy this year is a little bit over $1.5 billion, but we receive all the money that comes through from the state for the school districts. We receive all the money that we receive from the courts. So it's not just taxes that we deal with. It's everybody's money.
You know, obviously, Pima County is a Democratic county. We've seen Democrats dominate many county offices, but you've been reelected over and over again five different times as a Republican. This is really a nonpartisan office, isn't it?
For the most part, and the reason why I've been elected, John, I believe, is because of my financial background. I'm a certified public accountant, and as one Democrat that voted for me, actually my first term, said, that just makes sense to have a financial professional looking after your tax dollars.
You know, I guess you'd have to take a look at what's happening politically all across the country. Everybody says it's a Democratic tsunami. Have you been anxious about this year because Democrats may just vote blue and that would sweep you and maybe just a couple other Republicans out of office? But you're the most qualified. You deserve another term. I support you. I'm a Democrat. Hard and true as a progressive one as well. But I think you can take a look at the office and how well you've run it, and there'd be no reason not to reelect you. And I urge Democrats to support Beth Ford for county treasurer. But I suppose there's an anxious period of time here, 2 weeks out, that would say, well, I don't know about this tsunami that may be coming.
And well, it's all going to depend on turnout, and both sides are working very hard to get their voters out. So, but I'm going to need that crossover vote. I need Democrats to realize that I'm the best person for the job. I got the star endorsement. They recognize that my financial expertise is really needed in the office, and that I've done a good job. It's not been controversial. I was referred to as the most boring politician in Pima County, been in office for 20 years and never been in the paper with a controversy. So the office is well run.
Let me ask you tell us how people can help Beth Ford remain as county treasurer for the next 4 years. What do they do?
Ask your friends and family to vote for me, first of all. Get those ballots in with my vote. And visit my website at fordfortreasurer, that's all letters, .com.
You know, when you first got elected, I recall it was a pretty tough race. And obviously, each time out from now and all the way back those 20-some years, what's your biggest accomplishment? What are you most proud of after 2 decades as county treasurer?
Just the efficiency that with which we're running the office. And I regularly get compliments from taxpayers how well our office is run and how helpful staff is. I think we're doing a very good job of actually serving the community. And I've gone from a budget of 46 people down to 25. We run really efficiently. We're running very lean and taking advantage of technology.
All right, once again, to support Beth Ford for county treasurer, what do they do? One more time.
Vote for me and visit my website at fordfortreasurer.com.
Beth Ford, we support you. We urge everyone in Pima County to do the same. You've done a great county treasurer. You'll be a great one for the next 4 years. Hope you win this thing. Thank you. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, John. And thank you for having me on.
I'm glad to be able to do that. Thank you. Beth Ford is the Pima County. She's a Republican. Who cares? I don't care. I just know she's a great lady, and she's done a great job. She ought to have another 4 years if she wants it. It's in our best interest. This is KVOI, The Voice. We started out this show talking to Don Jorgensen, the former chair of the Democratic Party, and we told him about the editorial in the New York Times in which The New York Times said Donald Trump can't fix the most pressing problem facing the United States because Donald Trump is the most pressing problem facing the United States. And the editorial in the Times, which you might expect from this left-wing leaning news organization, said that American democracy is in greater danger than at any time since World War II. That's saying a lot. A lot of things have happened since 1945. But they suggest that the democracy of America is at greater danger now than at any time since World War II. We'd like to remind you we have two more shows previous to the election of 2020. A week from today, and then 2 weeks from today, and then people will conclude their voting. We ask you to vote, whether Republican or Democrat. Want to thank the people at Perfection Auto Works for being our major sponsor. We broadcast from the Perfection Auto Works studios. Mike Emery's a great guy. We're not politically aligned, but we're friends, and I trust him to fix my car. You can trust him to fix your car as well. Mike Emery's a great guy. He's a great mechanic. All of his mechanics are ASE certified, and they are certified factory trained. His phone number is 323-8650. He's at 1046 North Beverly. Don't ever have to worry about your car again. I don't worry about my car. I just give the responsibility of my car to Mike Emery. He's just a great guy and a great company. We thank him for his prime sponsorship of the John C. Scott Political Forum. By the way, we started the show as saying, too, that of the 33 years that I've done this radio talk show, I never paid much attention to ratings. However, the Nielsen came out. We are one of the highest-rated weekend shows in all of Southern Arizona and in Arizona as a state. We thank you for making that possible. It's nice to have those kind of numbers when you talk to people about the show. We could not do that without your attention and your attendance each and every Saturday. This is KVY The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Thank you so much for listening to our show. We'll be back a week from today, from 3 to 4, for the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in Arizona. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, fake, disgusting news.
This is KFake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's going to snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.